This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Target Iran, Orchestrating the Duplicity. Today on Taking Aim, we're going to start with an homage to two fighters for justice who died last week. Jinnah Haruko Hota was an executive producer of KPFA's weekly program, Apes Express. She was involved in many community struggles, such as the struggle for the International Hotel in the 1970s in San Francisco. She worked at the Asian Cultural Center in Oakland, and recently was at UC Berkeley's Language Lab, where she was supervising the digitizing of lost languages, such as the lost languages of the California Native American tribes. Jinnah was the longtime wife of our engineer and KPFA's operation director, Michael Yoshida. Our heart goes out to Michael and to all the people at KPFA and the Asian community with whom Jinnah works so closely. Jinnah was also a union activist involved in the recent struggles at UC Berkeley.
Maya, Jinnah actually keeled over during a union meeting preparing for the next stage in a massive walkout by thousands of University of California students, faculty, and staff, and she was engaged in planning the next steps in a very agitated and passionate way when she keeled over suddenly.
We note the passing of Marek Edelman, commander in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, who died at the age of 90. A strong anti-Zionist, he refused to leave Poland and stayed there despite an anti-Semitic wave. He was a leader in Solidarnosc and a noted cardiologist. Marek Edelman was one of the leaders of the Jewish Fighting Organization that in April 1943 led a force of 220 poorly armed young Jewish men and women in a desperate struggle against the Germans. By early 1942, as many as 500,000 Jews had been herded into an area of 1 square mile, and in that area they were starved to death. By the time there were 30,000 people left after most of the Jews had been transported to the concentration camps and the death camps, the gas chambers, Marek Edelman, along with the members of the Bund and the Jewish Fighting Organization, led a valiant struggle. Ralph?
Maya, the New York Times did a long obituary for Marek Edelman. It's instructive to note that although they acknowledged his role as the commander of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, they suppressed the fact that he was a passionate anti-Zionist. Not merely a passionate anti-Zionist, but he refused to go to a colonial settler state such as Israel, and he declared his solidarity with the Palestinian people, and he compared the uprising of the Palestinian people to that of the Warsaw Ghetto. In addition to which, he was an active defender of the working class and opposed to the Stalinist apparatus from the inception of his decision to remain in Poland. This is an extraordinary and heroic figure, and it's instructive that the New York Times obituary, as with that of most of the imperialist press, conceals his anti-Zionism, conceals his passionate support of the Palestinian people, and conceals above all the fact that the commander of the Warsaw Ghetto compared the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto to the resistance of the Palestinian people, an ardent advocate, leader, and emblem of both.
You can read Marek Edelman's inspiring piece on the Warsaw Ghetto uprising on the internet. Search for Marek Edelman, M-A-R-E-K, Edelman, E-D-E-L-M-A-N, the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. And now to our program, Target Iran. On October 1st, 2009, President Obama's Pentagon policy chief, Michelle Flournoy, appeared in front of the Armed Services Committee of the House of Representatives and said that 30 ground-based interceptor missiles were to be deployed in Alaska and California by the end of 2010. She said, quote, They will provide the United States with full protection of the homeland against an Iranian ICBM threat, referring to intercontinental ballistic missiles. What did she mean? The real threat, she said, of short-range and medium-range ballistic missiles that is developing faster must be dealt with. Our new approach does not discount the potential future threat of an Iranian ICBM. October 1st. This is the same day that in Geneva, the P5 plus 1, that is the members of the Security Council, the United States, Russia, China, France, and Great Britain, along with Germany, were meeting with Iran's chief nuclear negotiator, Saeed Jalali. In that meeting, they were exacting concessions from Iran, particularly the investigation by the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency of the United Nations, to go to Qom to stage an investigation, where Iran had acknowledged a second enrichment plant days before. Ralph?
Well, Maya, the story concerning the deployment of intercontinental ballistic missiles and ground interceptor missiles in California and across the western United States was amplified by Adam Itus of Reuters on October 1st. It is not merely a question of deploying long-range interceptor missiles against presumptive long-range Iranian rockets which don't exist. Israel will be receiving specific protection under the administration's missile shield. U.S. Navy ships equipped with Aegis missile interceptors are being deployed in the eastern Mediterranean, quote, to provide an additional layer of defense over Israel, the head of the Pentagon's Missile Defense Agency said. In fact, the U.S. intelligence agencies see the Iranian short and medium-range missiles as primarily capable of targeting Israel and American forces in the Middle East and parts of Europe. But, of course, these systems that they're describing have not merely a minimal capacity of such kind, but vanishing little evidence that they could or would be deployed. Pentagon chief policy figure, as you mentioned, Michel Flournoy, stated that 30 ground interceptor missiles in Alaska and California will be only the beginning. Lieutenant General Patrick O'Reilly, who is the head of the Pentagon's Missile Defense Agency, said the United States was positioning these interceptors across the area, and they maintain that the east coast of the United States will soon be provided with the same ground-based interceptors in silos. So we're not talking here merely about a propaganda instrument. There is no question but that this reflects the fact that the Iranian Revolution and the removal of Iran from the complete control of imperialism, whatever the pretext of this spy operation called nuclear inspection, is only the little beginning of a campaign to either destroy Iran or to create the kind of regime in Iran which will facilitate the dismantling of the country as such.
Ralph, again, we have to note, there is no evidence that Iran has any long-range missiles. Iran has fired some short-range and medium-range missiles. And the pride of Iran's missile arsenal, the Shabab 3, maybe has a shot at hitting Israel. It could perhaps hit part of India and the very westernmost reaches of China. Virtually all of Europe is out of its range, and certainly the United States. The distance from Los Angeles to Tehran is 6 times the maximum of the Shabab 3. It is 12,202 kilometers from Iran. Now, this is assuming that Iran has any desire, intention of attacking the United States, when in fact Iran has been trying to form a conciliatory relationship with the United States. What we have here is warmongering. Warmongering and disinformation campaign, especially fostered by the Washington Post, the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times, much as we saw prior to the invasion of Iraq with the fake issue of weapons of mass destruction. Ralph.
I want to make a particular point about the New York Times and the Washington Post. The particular reporters for the New York Times and the Washington Post have been deployed before. They, along with Judith Miller, were used to create a fanfare for all of the specific lies concerning Iraq, notably the speech by the Secretary of State under Bush, Colin Powell, before the United Nations, in which he insisted that there was a active chemical and biological warfare arsenal in the north of Iraq, and he associated that with Abu Musab al-Zarqawi on the grounds that al-Zarqawi had been fitted for a prosthesis in a hospital in Baghdad. Parenthetically, brothers and sisters, it's worth recalling that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi had been presented as the figure who had decapitated Nicholas Berg, you will recall, and that figure shown on video had been grown a new leg. Not only was he grown a new leg, but he was brought back to life as he had been killed some time before. That is the character of the cheats and deceivers who are, in fact, the mouthpieces for imperialism that write in the Financial Times, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. It is a well-established historical fact that the U.S. and its allies, imperialist allies, systematically deceived the entire world as they prepared their war of aggression in Iraq. And all of that is being replayed here for the same agenda. What has been done in Iraq is being prepared in Iran. The same people responsible for war that has already claimed 1.3 million Iraqis are back in business with the entire propaganda machine of the corporate-controlled media. Richard Cohen in the Washington Post did not merely parrot the Bush lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, but in a column that he wrote, he dismissed Iran's claims that its nuclear facilities are for nuclear energy with the following statement. Those Persians, he writes in the Washington Post, lie like a rug. Talk about the uninhibited racist mantra that is being generated by imperialism. It is fundamental to understand. Neither Washington nor any other major power has ever attempted to explain why Iran's alleged pursuit of a weapon is a crime against humanity, while it is not only acceptable for India, Pakistan, and Israel to obtain nuclear bombs, but that none of these countries has signed a 40-year non-proliferation treaty or allowed the IAEA to inspect their facilities. Israel, with hundreds of hydrogen bomb and nuclear weapons, has not merely threatened to attack Iran, but has declared openly since the time of Moshe Dayan, that Israel will use nuclear weapons in any confrontation with the Arab nations in which the Israeli state would in any way be confronted with the prospect of defeat. Iran itself would be a nuclear power today if it had not been for the 1979 revolution, because the biggest arms customer and regional gendarme of Washington, the Shah, openly declared his intention to obtain nuclear weapons, and the United States provided the Shah with the reactors and the nuclear fuel to create a nuclear weapons program. What we're looking at here has absolutely nothing to do with the disappearance of nuclear weapons in the world. The greatest progenitor of these, namely U.S. imperialism, deploys them wherever it finds it useful in the hands of its satraps and its instruments. One last point about this. As we speak, brothers and sisters, the United Arab Emirates is being provided with nuclear fuel and nuclear capacity by American imperialism as we speak. As they are orchestrating this system of lies about Iran, they are busily preparing for the little United Arab Emirates to have a nuclear capacity.
Ralph, we have to remember, Iran sent a letter to the IAEA. And in that letter, it said that it was building a small second enrichment plant, this one 100 miles from Tehran, 20 miles from Qom. Qom is the major Islamic center for the Shia section of Islam. And it is the center of most of these Shia seminaries. It is an incredible religious center, place that surely could not be targeted without international consequences. And this second small enrichment facility is deep within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard base that is near Qom. Subsequently, the G5+1 meeting at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh on Friday, September 18th, preempted the purpose of this summit, which was an economic summit, with a press conference of President Obama, accompanied by British Prime Minister Gordon Brown and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. And here is what Obama said. Iran is on notice that when we meet with them on October 1st, they are going to have to come clean and they will have to make a choice. The alternative to giving up their program, referring to their peaceful nuclear reactor program for electrical energy, he warned, is, quote, to continue down a path that is going to lead to confrontation, end quote. Then came Nicolas Sarkozy of France. He was blunt. He gave Iran 2 months to meet all international demands. It went further. Prime Minister Brown said that the international community, quote, had been confronted by serial deception of many years. The international community will have no choice but to draw a line in the sand. The international community will further isolate Iran. Ralph?
Maya, this is a pattern, of course, with not merely the Carter Doctrine. It has to be remembered, brothers and sisters, it was not Reagan. It was not Bush, senior or junior, but Jimmy Carter, who declared in the Carter Doctrine that the United States would have the right and would preemptively strike, would begin a war preemptively against any country in Central Asia or the Middle East which had a nuclear capacity or which in any respect was, quote, a threat, unquote, to the, quote, oil supply of the United States. What are, in fact, the realities about this recent pretext, namely the existence of a parallel facility at Qom, that they are claiming to be a shocking discovery? Newsweek, on the 16th of September, disclosed intelligence agencies say no new nukes in Iran. Secret updates to White House challenge European and Israeli assessment. And the Mark Hosenball article in Newsweek discloses that the entire claim that there's any suggestion of a new capacity, that Qom represents a new capacity, is in fact a fabrication. It is, of course, a fabrication, brothers and sisters, because the discovery of the Qom parallel site took place during the administration of George Bush. Not only was it fully, of course, known to the United States and known to be nothing more than a minor nuclear enrichment plant for nuclear electrical power energy, but this was the subject of a briefing that Barack Obama received after his election. The Bush administration had not only full cognizance of this, but had full notification of, and not only from its own intelligence agencies across the world, it was understood and known that this was a parallel facility for the identical purposes of that at Natanz. In the article by Gareth Porter, an important piece in International Press Service News Agency on September 14th, he wrote, the International Atomic Energy Agency says its present objectives regarding Iran to determine whether the intelligence documents purportedly showing a covert nuclear weapons program from 2001 to 2003 are authentic or not has become clearly an example of fabrication. The IAEA Safeguard Department Chief Oli Hainonen, who signals his de facto acceptance of the alleged study's documents, now it is disclosed that these are entirely fabricated. There is not a scintilla of evidence for a nuclear weapons program at Qom or anywhere else in Iran.
Ralph, we will return to the Gareth Porter because that is a very important article. The documents to which he refers that are fabricated were presented with a computer laptop by the Mujahideen, the same people who provided many of the fake documents about the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction program. But I also want to mention that the Wall Street Journal itself on September 26th an article by Siobhan Gorman refers just to what you were talking about, Combe, titled U.S. Knew About the Site for Years. Siobhan Gorman writes, the underground site near the holy city of Combe is one that the U.S., Britain, and France, quote, have followed for a few years, said a senior administration official. U.S. officials also regularly discuss Iran's nuclear program with Israeli officials. A European intelligence official said U.S., Israeli, German intelligence services have begun looking for a hidden site in 2002 after an analysis of Iran's nuclear procurements found purchases that couldn't be explained by the needs of its known facilities. Quote, we knew the site existed, but at the time we didn't know where. But they did know where from their satellite pictures. Ralph.
Well, let's pursue this a little bit, Maya. On September 17th, Agence France-Presse released the following story. IAEA denies report Iran is seeking bomb. The United Nations Atomic Watchdog stated Thursday it has no proof that there is or has been a nuclear weapons program in Iran. The International Atomic Energy Agency rejected the U.S. media reports which claim experts believe Tehran had the ability to make a nuclear bomb and was on the way to develop a missile system able to carry an atomic warhead. Quote, with respect to the recent media reports, the IAEA reiterates there is no concrete report that there is or ever has been a nuclear weapon program in Iran, the statement said. The proof was contained in a so-called, quote, secret annex to the IAEA's latest report on Iran, but was deliberately being withheld by the agency's Director General, Mohammed Al-Baradei, according to U.S. and European media. Quote, at the Board of Governors meeting on September 9th, Director General Al-Baradei stated that these continued false allegations that the IAEA was withholding information on Iran are politically motivated and totally baseless. Quote, unquote, this entire propaganda campaign of Obama, of Brown, of Sarkozy, of Merkel in Germany is a systematic campaign of fabrication and lies on the order of the same process deployed in the immediate forerunning of the attack on Iraq.
Ralph, the New York Times has been playing two roles, fanning the flames for further sanctions and maybe even an attack on Iran. And at the same time, buried within the articles by David Sanger and William Broad, such as one on September 26th, U.S. and allies warn Iran over nuclear, quote, deception, buried within this article, we find these statements. For years, writes Sanger and Broad, American intelligence agencies have been searching Iran for evidence of the kind of plant that Iran was accused of building, referring to the statements on September 18th at the G20 summit, an enrichment unit big enough to make enough material for one bomb a year, but small enough to hide. At its much larger enrichment complex at Natanz, the country already has produced enough low-enriched fuel to build one or two weapons. We have to note here, this isn't noted in the article, that this is not weapons-grade fuel, and it takes a lot of extra technology in order to turn the low-grade fuel that Iran is producing into weapons-grade fuel. Broad and Sanger continue. But diverting any of the fuel produced at Natanz for weapons would be difficult. International inspectors would almost certainly detect a diversion, and throwing those inspectors out of the country, as North Korea did in 2003, would set off an alarm that Iran was headed to what experts call nuclear breakout. They admit, senior administration officials said that this spring they saw equipment being placed in the underground plant, which they said was evidence that Iran was building a secret complex. But there were only 3,000 centrifuges. Old, slow, P1 they're called because of Pakistani heritage. They call this too small for commercial use. Ralph.
The Associated Press, described by Jason Ditz on the 17th of September. Iran's hypothetical capability to make a weapon from highly enriched uranium would require them to enrich uranium to far higher levels than they are doing for energy production. the IAEA has verified that none of this uranium has been diverted to any such purpose, quote unquote. By every independent report, through every document that has been made available, this entire campaign is a fabrication. And yet we have the following, and this is a critique by Glenn Greenwald in Salon. The claims about Iran raise more questions than they answer. None is being asked by America's media. Obama officials dictated to Elaine Cooper and Mark Mazzetti of the New York Times the official version of the dramatic and exciting behind-the-scenes events that led to the administration's announcement this week about Iran's nuclear facility. A late-night strategy session, secret consultation with allies, high-level diplomatic wrangling, the White House decision to, quote, outflank the Iranians, unquote. Cooper and Mazzetti faithfully took down everything from the intelligence agency reports that they were told and produced a breathless front-page article, quote, all of whom want the story known to help to support their case against Iran. In other words, they are openly distributing a fabricated intelligence briefing orchestrated by Barack Obama and by the highest level officials of his administration. Quote, the Chinese were skeptical and said they wanted to look at this actual intelligence. The lessons of the Iraq war have remained. We don't want to buy a pig in a poke, was the response of the Chinese. Rational, you would think, writes Greenwald. The American media have infused its coverage with utter propaganda. It is the same process that was undertaken two decades ago, and the constant mantra about the preparations for a nuclear weapon and a secret site that had not been disclosed were, in fact, a complete calculated strategic deception to create in the American public an acquiescence in preparations for a new assault upon Iran. Wholesale sanctions, a preparation for a military attack, and the context is instructive. Obama admits public tiring of Afghan war. During an address at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Obama conceded that Americans are tiring of the eight-year-long war in Afghanistan. He insisted that this is the right strategy, and he determined to give serious consideration as to how to win this war. And he refused to comment as to whether he will approve the massive escalation proposed by General Stanley McChrystal when all pundits understand that that is exactly what has already been decided upon. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, Barack Obama maintains 140,000 troops in Iraq, independent of the almost equal number of mercenaries, Blackwater and other mercenaries. He has already sent an additional 21,000 troops to Afghanistan. McChrystal is seeking another 45,000, which will bring the overall level to 113,000, triple the size of the force that existed when Obama was elected. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, 113,000. There are 70,000 mercenaries in Afghanistan. We're talking now about 180,000 troops in Afghanistan at a time when nearly 60% of the American public wants the war in Afghanistan ended and troops out. No wonder there is an orchestrated campaign with respect to this fake nuclear capacity of Iran as we prepare for the next phase of imperial encirclement and menace and attempts to dismantle Iran in the manner of Iraq.
And Ralph, again fanning the flames, Washington Post columnist Richard Cohn stated, quote, those Persians lie like a rug,
yes,
end quote, on September 29th. Only the United States, he wrote, has the capability to obliterate Tehran's underground facilities. Washington may have to act. This echoes the words of John Bolton, who had been President George Bush's ambassador to the United States and held many other State Department positions. Bolton stated, quote, to me, the revelation of this site highlights why the military option is the only option and also highlights why it may be too late. This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Target Iran, orchestrating the duplicity. Ralph?
Well, Maya, let's look again at the context here. Citing targets imposed on the nation by the United States, the Afghan Defense Ministry reports it is drawing up a plan to impose conscription on the war-torn nation to meet U.S. requirements. Already nearly 100,000 strong, the U.S. is pressing Afghanistan to dramatically increase its military size to 240,000, an enormous number for the impoverished nation. U.S. General McChrystal states it is important to avoid the appearance of being an occupation force, but he is poised to send hundreds of thousands of Afghans into forced combat with a tremendous supplement of U.S. troops. Now, what that means, brothers and sisters, is that the orchestration of this campaign against Iran is not only intended to prepare for crippling sanctions against Iran and military attacks, but above all, the major escalation of the war in Afghanistan.
Ralph, I'd like to return to the Gareth Porter article, "The IAEA Conceals Evidence Iran Documents Were Forged," that appeared on the Interpress Service news agency September 15, 2009. It's very important to look at these documents that address Iran's supposed nuclear weapons program from 2001 to 2003. And remember that the U.S. intelligence assessment said that after 2003, it doesn't believe that Iran had any weapons program. And this is the highest intelligence officials in the United States saying this. But does the President of the United States or the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton listen to these intelligence officials? No. Let's look at these documents. What are they? The documents were on a laptop that was secreted out of Iran. Iran, however, has submitted evidence that the documents are fraudulent. Iran's permanent representative to the United Nations in Vienna, Ambassador Ali Askar Soltanieh, told IPS in an interview that he had pointed out to a team of IAEA officials in a meeting on the documents in Tehran in spring of 2008 that none of the supposedly top-secret military documents had any security markings of any kind, and that purported letters from the defense ministry officials lacked Iranian government seals. He's made the same point many times in meetings of the Board of Governors of the IAEA. "No one has ever challenged me," said the ambassador. Even though no one has ever challenged him, the IAEA omits mention of the Iranian complaint in all of its reports. Ralph?
Maya, I want to point out that this current campaign of disinformation and hysterical propaganda designed to create a crisis where nothing exists to justify such a crisis is not, of course, new. On February 8, 2006, the Washington Post ran the following headline: "Strong Leads and Dead Ends in the Nuclear Case Against Iran." Iranian engineers have completed sophisticated drawings of a deep subterranean shaft. According to officials who examined classified documents in the hands of U.S. intelligence for more than 20 months, complete with remote-controlled sensors to measure pressure and heat, the plans for the 400-meter tunnel appear designed for an underground atomic test that might one day announce Tehran's arrival as a nuclear power, the officials said. That's February 8th. February 14th, brothers and sisters, Daphne Linzer. UN inspectors investigating Iran's nuclear program angrily denounced the Bush administration and its claims that Iran's capabilities are already those of nuclear capacity, calling this document, quote, outrageous and dishonest, and offering specific evidence to refute its central claims. Officials of the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency said in a letter that the report was erroneous, misleading, with unsubstantiated statements. The letter signed by the senior director of the agency was addressed to Representative Peter Hoekstra, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, which had issued the report. A copy was hand-delivered to Gregory L. Schulte, the U.S. ambassador to the IAEA in Vienna. This process, this pattern, this systematic deployment of official lies and propaganda to service a military and imperial agenda is the very leitmotif of how imperialism conducts its affairs year after year, theater of conflict after theater of conflict, target country after target country.
Ralph, again returning to the Gareth Porter article, when the IAEA contended that there had been credible evidence and that this credible evidence had been provided by Washington Post reporter Daphna Linza, who you had quoted, and that she had written that there had been documents from this computer that had been sent to three different labs and that two had said that they were credible. Gareth Porter contacted Daphna Linza, and Daphna Linza pointed out that this wasn't true, that her February 2006 story, which is available on the internet and from which you quoted, in her story she had reported that only the Sandia National Laboratory in New Mexico had run computer simulation on the study of the Shabab 3 reentry vehicle, which had suggested that they were aimed at accommodating a nuclear weapon. But the Sandia National Laboratory had concluded in its thorough study that none of the plans that were on this computer would have worked. Contacted by phone by Porter, Linzer, who was now a senior reporter for the public interest journalism organization ProPublica, told IPS that she had never reported that two other labs ran tests on the documents. And Linzer also expressed doubt that any other national labs other than Sandia would have the capabilities to do the kind of tests that had been carried out by Sandia. When asked if the IAEA had sought to obtain the Sandia simulation results, the official refused to comment except to say, quote, our people follow up. Look at what we have here. The IAEA spreading disinformation and relying upon documents that clearly are fraudulent. This recalls what happened in the Niger Green Salt Project that Secretary of State Colin Powell used as a basis for Niger sending to Iraq the material that could have been used for a nuclear weapons program. It was all fabricated. And at that time, the IAEA had insisted that it was fabricated information, but not today, not with Iran. The IAEA is taking a different stance. Ralph.
Well, Maya, to just amplify what Gareth Porter has shown so successfully here, Iran submitted serious evidence, he writes, that the documents are entirely fraudulent. Iran's permanent representative to the United Nations in Vienna, Ambassador Ali Asghar Saltania, told IPS in an interview he had pointed out to IAEA officials in a meeting on the documents that none of the supposedly top-secret military documents had any security markings of any kind, and that purported letters from defense ministry officials lacked Iranian government seals. In fact, it goes further than that, because the IAEA had to acknowledge that the handwritten notes that were provided on a May 2003 letter was supposedly linking a private Iranian contractor to studies were forged by an outside agency. Again, brothers and sisters, were forged by an outside agency. The letter was from an engineering firm to the private company Kimia Mahdan. Other documents in the collection identified as responsible for part of the alleged covert nuclear weapons program were called the Green Salt Project. What does IAEA find? The letter has actually nothing to do with any Green Salt Project. The handwritten notes in the copy of the letter given to the IAEA by an unidentified government referred to individuals who are named in other intelligence documents as participants in alleged studies. The original letter, which Iran has now provided to the IAEA, has no handwritten notes on it. The original letter to the IAE team led by the deputy of IAE Safeguards Department, Herman Nakets, in Tehran, January 23rd, 2008, makes clear that this is a forgery. This is a fabrication. This is an intelligence operation the U.S. has orchestrated. It is the same process, the same pattern, and Obama is the author of this current campaign based upon fraudulent documents which the U.S. intelligence agencies have had to concede. And in fact, since the Bush administration, as I stated before, the entire claim about a secret facility in Guam had been not only known, but assessed and determined to have no relation to nuclear weaponry whatsoever.
Ralph, we're talking about Target Iran. I'd like to go back now and look at something that we've discussed previously about Iran, and that is Iran's oil and gas reserves. Iran has almost 10% of the world's proven oil reserves. It's the second largest reserve of natural gas. Iran is the fourth largest producer of oil. It's OPEC's second largest exporter of oil. Oil provides 85% of government revenue. That is, the Iranian government depends upon oil. Oil has been nationalized in Iran since 1951. So when we look at Target Iran, aside from the Israeli plan to break up all the nations of the Middle East into their components, let us look at the resources of Iran. 10% of the world's proven oil reserves and the second largest reserve of natural gas in the world. Ralph?
Well, one last point about this, because here it is in the Wall Street Journal by Shurban Gorman on September 26th. Barack Obama dramatically disclosed the existence of a covert Iranian nuclear enrichment site in front of world leaders Friday. But what foreign spy services have been watching that site for years. The underground site near the holy city of Qom is one that the U.S., Britain, and France, quote, have followed for years, said a senior administration official. They regularly discuss Iran's nuclear program with Israeli officials. A European intelligence official, the Wall Street Journal continues, stated, U.S., Israeli, and German intelligence services have been looking for a hidden site in 2002, after an analysis of Iran's nuclear procurements, and they found that purchases could not be associated with any actual weapons program. As to the site, quote, we knew the site existed. Obama first learned about the Qom site in the intelligence briefing during the transition immediately after his election. Obama asked his staff to prepare a detailed briefing in advance of this week's UN and Group 20 meetings, and they created a fabricated scenario contrary to what the intelligence agencies had already been disclosing to both the Bush administration and to that of Barack Obama. If there were ever any proof required of the character of official propaganda in the United States and the role of the media, with some notable exceptions, I have to say, such as this example in the Wall Street Journal on the 26th of September. Here it is, brothers and sisters. It is a lie. It is a fabrication. It is a cynical deployment of propaganda to create the conditions for crippling sanctions on Iran, for the dismantling of the country, and for hegemony of the United States over Central Asia and the oil of the Arab East and, of course, of Iran itself. That is the agenda. That is the imperial intent. And it is required, in order to accomplish this, the most cynical and orchestrated propaganda, warmongering propaganda, particularly because the people of the United States, faced with the crisis of the financial collapse of the capitalist economy, are turning on all these wars of predation in ever-increasing numbers, not only here, but across national frontiers. These are the circumstances which require a new, completely contrived crisis for imperialism to pursue its sick and devastating agenda.
Ralph, let's continue with this fake crisis in the making. Haaretz, September 27th, Barak Ravid, U.S. Defense Chief, Iran intends to develop nuclear arms. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said he believes Iran intends to develop nuclear weapons, Ravid continues. Gates did this after the recent discovery of a secret uranium enrichment facility in the Islamic Republic. Gates, quote, "My personal opinion is that the Iranians have the intention of having nuclear weapons," end quote, said Gates in an interview with ABC News that was aired on September 28th. And he added, "I think the question of whether they have made a formal decision to move towards the development of nuclear weapons is in doubt." That's his concession, but the main thrust of his statement is that the Iranians have the intention of having nuclear weapons. Now, this was echoed very strongly by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who made a call to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other senators and Congress members to state specifically that now is the time to act to halt an Iranian nuclear program. As Netanyahu was reported to have said in his conversation with American officials, quote, "If not now, then when? Action must be taken in all areas to increase pressure on Iran." This isn't where it ends. Haaretz, September 12th, Amos Harel. Clock ticking for Iran as Israel appears ready to strike. An Israeli strike on Iran would be the most dangerous foreign policy issue President Obama could face. Former Vice President Dick Cheney revealed that while in office, he supported an American strike against Iran. We still have, from the Bush administration, as I mentioned before, John Bolton warning, there is a countdown taking place. And William Cohn, who had served as Secretary of Defense during Bill Clinton's second presidential term, 1997 to 2001, stating that Israel, quote, "is not going to sit indifferently on the sidelines and watch Iran continue on its way towards a nuclear weapons capability." And Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, explained, quote, "we have a very narrow window," end quote, "that exists between the possibility of resolving an issue and an attack on Iran." Ralph?
Let's look at the intention of inspections, as they are called, the violation of the sovereignty of a country, allowing essentially CIA spies wearing the cover of inspectors for some or another international agency to penetrate all aspects and centers of Iran's, not merely its nuclear energy program, but all of its facilities, the entitlement to call before them the technical and scientific and even military personnel of Iran. No matter what the Iranians do to capitulate, it'll never be enough. Quote, "nothing Iran can do to convince the U.S. that the nuclear program is peaceful." This is an article on September 27th. "In its latest indication that the United States is entering Iran talks grudgingly, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton publicly announced that she does not believe there's any piece of evidence that the Iranian government can possibly could present which will ever convince U.S. officials that their civilian nuclear program is for peaceful purposes. Clinton, who's repeatedly stated she doesn't expect diplomacy to work with Iran, suggested that the Iranian government must open their entire system to extensive investigation. The positions in the Obama administration are best illustrated by comments made today," the article continues, "by Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. Quote, it is my personal opinion that the Iranians have the full intention of having nuclear weapons while conceding that whether or not they're actually doing that may be in doubt, but we are not in doubt. In fact, the administration has made clear that they don't want to even acknowledge their own intelligence reports or the repeated certifications of the IAEA. It doesn't matter what happens in the way of so-called inspection. The purpose of the inspection is not to arrive at any ascertainment of what the nuclear program of Iran is about. The purpose of the inspection is to create a spy apparatus that can target Iran for the next physical attack, military attack, and for the full implementation of a crippling sanctions, which is an act of war that will cut Iran off from financial assets, from refined gasoline, from all technical and mechanical and engineering equipment for maintaining its industry and for modernizing its refining capacity. This is a program of devastation and destruction, preparatory for war, and as a component of what is essentially an act of war.
Ralph, speaking about an act of war, let's look at Haaretz from last spring, April 18th, 2009. IDFI's attack on Iran within hours of green light. The London Times Online edition reported that the Israel Defense Force, the IDF, was making preparations to be able to launch a massive aerial assault on Iran's nuclear facilities within days of being given the go-ahead by Israel's government. Quote, Israel wants to know that if its forces were given the green light, they could strike at Iran in a matter of days, even hours. They are making preparations on every level for this eventuality. The message to Iran is that the threat is not just words, one senior defense official told the London Times. The report includes a nationwide home front drill that was scheduled for June. Quote, we would not make the threat against Iran without the force to back it. There has been a recent move, a number of on-the-ground preparations that indicate Israel's willingness to act, another official from Israel's intelligence community told The Times. And Ansel Pfeiffer, writing in Haaretz, April 7, 2009, IDF planning largest ever drill to prepare Israel for war. Colonel Hilik Sofer, who is in charge of the Department for Population at the Homefront Command, said that, quote, we'll have to rely on the population itself. We need to train for a reality in which during war, missiles can fall on any part of the country without warning. The exercise was scheduled to last an entire week and test a series of scenarios that include missile strikes with conventional and non-conventional warheads. Ralph.
Maya Haaretz, the Jerusalem Post, Yedia Ahronot, the entire Israeli press, and indeed the Israeli propaganda apparatus itself, as orchestrated through its instruments across the United States, have been preparing this scenario systematically over a period of years. IDF staged drills over Gibraltar in preparation for Iran's strike, wrote Haaretz, and this is on March 5th of this year. The Israeli Air Force recently staged advanced military exercises between Israel and the British colony of Gibraltar near southern Spain, the French magazine L'Express reported on Saturday. The drills were held 3,800 kilometers away from Israel, confirming that the Israeli Defense Forces are making concrete preparations to attack Iran over a refusal to cooperate with the international community, according to L'Express. Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman vowed last week that Israel will not attack Iran unless the Iranians fail to perform as required. The London Times reported that the IDF was indeed making preparations to launch a massive aerial assault on Iran's nuclear facilities to be carried out within days of the go-ahead by the Israeli government. Israel wants to know that if its forces are given the green light, they can strike Iran in a matter of days and, in fact, hours. Preparations on every level have been made for this eventuality. The message to Iran is that the threat is not just words, a senior Israeli official told The Times. The London Times report was an Israeli message to Iran conveying its readiness to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons and to prepare a massive attack. This is a systematic, orchestrated campaign, and not only in the Israeli press, as I mentioned, but in the bourgeois press across the world, and it is integral to what is afoot right now with the Obama administration. And here, Maya, is an article in the New York Times on October 4th, The Challenge for Obama, Holding Iran to Its Word. U.S. President Barack Obama got what he said he wanted when U.S. negotiators met with the Iranian counterparts this week in Geneva. direct engagement without preconditions. The trick now, administration officials concede, is to avoid getting tripped up. In other words, no matter what the Iranians do, it is not clear that they are serious. The clearest risk is that the Iranians are playing for time, as they are often doing, making promises, encouraging meetings, but waiting for political currents to change. The head of the UN nuclear agency arrived in Iran for talks on a timetable for inspectors. The senior Iranian nuclear official told Reuters that Al-Baradei would discuss plans to allow inspectors to visit the site as demanded. And it seems, as the article makes clear, that no matter what the Iranians concede, no matter what it is that they do, it is only the prelude to the next demand and the next set of invading inspectors, spy apparatus of an imperial power whose purpose has been explicit from the moment of the Grand Chessboard to the present day. Dismantle the countries of the Central Asia and Arab East and Afghanistan, of Pakistan, of Iran. That is the agenda, brothers and sisters. It is one of permanent war at a moment of terminal crisis for a system that is in such decay it has no response but ever-increasing militarization, martial law at home, and expanded war abroad.
This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Target Iran, Orchestrating the Duplicity, will be on our website, www.takingaimradio.com. Please contact us at takingaim@pacbell.net. We'll be with you next week.